operating Australia's largest complementary SME model, helping the defence sector optimise capability and assets. Gold Group presents the Defence Ready Seminar Series podcasts. The Defence Ready Seminar Series is a joint initiative of Gold Group, Hunter Defence, Aiden, and the Centre for Defence Industry Capability.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Defence Ready Seminar Series of podcasts. My name's Grant McCarran. In this episode, we'll be discussing defence export controls, and I'm joined today by Kevin Chenney, a senior consultant with Gold Group. Welcome, Kevin. How are you doing?
Great, Grant. It's great to be here and great to be able to talk to you about the importance of defence export controls as they relate to this seminar series.
Fantastic. Now, Kevin, you've got a bit of a background with engagement with defence and experience in these areas. Can you tell us a bit about how you got to where you are now and the experiences you've had to help you put this course together?
Yeah, thanks, Grant. I, as a member of Gold Group, located in the Hunter region of New South Wales, I am active in the Defence Ready seminar series as a result of the work of the Hunter Defence Organisation, which I am actually a committee member of that task force, helping with the development of defence industry in the Hunter region. My specific defence export control role sees me conducting training, consulting and auditing, and I have had the ability and the luck to be able to work in both contract and defence roles in the area, which has enabled me to bring a diverse and well-informed background to the subject area, which I will be delivering and providing to participants in the series.
That's fantastic, Kev. Are there any specific roles you'd like to call out that have helped get you to this point?
Yeah, thanks, Grant. There's been a number of those. One was my experience in the Royal Australian Navy as a navigating officer. That had me as an operator of controlled equipment, which that controlled equipment is controlled under the defence export control regulations of the different nations I'll talk about, and also my instructor and technical advisor roles that I've had in defence industry before I joined GOAL. I've had the ability to look at it from an operator perspective and enabled that perspective to build on my knowledge and can see how controlled equipment, controlled technology can affect the operator in their different roles.
No, I could imagine that would be quite an interesting dance to move through, trying to make sure that controlled technology is maintained. So I imagine you've built up a number of contacts in the process. Are you able to tell me about some of those?
Sure, Grant. In the 3 years I've been in the role, or just over 3 years, I've had the ability to engage with the US Embassy in Canberra, the US Consulate in Sydney, various US contacts within the Capability and Sustainment Group within Washington, and also the International Export Controls Division, which exists within the Department of Defence within Australia and advise to Defence on matters relating to specifically the US export control regulations.
Okay. They are quite complicated, those regulations, as I understand it.
Certainly are.
I would imagine it takes quite a bit of effort and continual knowledge gaining, you know, to stay fresh, stay current, because these are always changing. Where do you go to find that information?
Look, I typically find that information from weekly news sweeps. So I tend to jump onto reputable search engines on the World Wide Web and look out certain topic and key words that enable me to understand the current trends and difficulties within both the US and Australia, but also more, and also I guess globally. I also have the ability to search around on the different websites, which I do regularly, relating to the different export control regimes and regulations. And also, I attend quite a few industry gatherings. These enable me to talk and listen to SMEs about their problems in the field.
So you've clearly got quite a broad range of experience, many years of participation in the area. So that, I guess, lets you bring this seminar together for us.
Yeah, certainly, Grant. I think my over 12 years of Navy experience, coupled with quite a number of years in the defence industry, and now my 3+ years of active participation in the area, working with GOAL, has enabled me to build up that broad understanding of the issues relating to defence export controls from both an operator perspective, such as being within the armed forces, and also from the SME perspective as well.
So moving on from yourself and your experience, defence export control, it's quite a topic. What's the main theme of your work in this course?
The defence export control regulations implemented by various countries around the world, specifically to manage the export of control technology. Control technology is technology which is considered to have uses in military or restricted activities, such as weapons of mass destruction, and that, if placed in the wrong hands, may impact global security. Certain nations around the world have their own form of export control regulations, which define that control technology, that provide for their nation and their industries and defence forces within that nation clear guidance as to what might be deemed to be controlled or uncontrolled for the purposes of exports.
So, Kev, can you tell us about what are the key regulations that Australian SMEs should be aware of when they're working with defence and especially in the export area?
The Defence Export Controls, which is the Australian regulations, which are operated under the Department of Defence, Canberra-based, they provide advice to industry on their requirements within Australia for exporting controlled technology. From the US perspective, the US is one of the key partners, obviously, for Australian industry, and therefore we handle quite a bit of US technology within Australia. And the regulations that impact Australian SMEs from that perspective are the ITAR, which is the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, which are administered by the US Department of State, and also the EAR, the Export Administration Regulations, which are administered by the US Department of Commerce. Both of these have a similar role as, or similar to what Defence Export Controls here in Australia has, except the ITAR manages specific military use items, whereas the EAR covers the dual use items that can be used in both military and commercial applications. Some other regulations also apply that Australian SMEs may encounter, those specifically being the UK regulations or the German BAFA regulations. However, their impact is less because, unlike ITAR and EAR, they have less extraterritorial impact for Australian SMEs.
So there's quite a lot of complex information to learn. How are you going to deliver this course? What's the method that people will go through as they engage and learn about defence export controls?
The method will involve a number of different aspects. So the first of which will be an e-learning course, which Gold Group has developed, which provides the high-level overview of the subject material. And that we'll ask participants to complete that before the virtual workshops to ensure a base level of knowledge across the group. Four virtual workshops will follow that cover a broad range of subject matter, broadly arranged into four virtual workshops of approximately 90 minutes each. The topics covered will lead to a strong understanding of the regulations and provide participants with an idea of the implications and actions required to enter the market in this area, and also give them an idea of their compliance requirements for participating in the area, which can be quite challenging for SMEs.
Well, Kevin, that's quite a bit of information and an interesting way of delivering it, of course, especially in these modern times, a bit of online, a bit of everyone working together and online and in workshops as well as self-study. I've seen a number of similar approaches across the entire Defence Ready series of courses. So how does your particular course fit in with the other courses in the Defence Ready series?
My course brings in a number of different aspects of other seminars that we're holding as part of the series. The first is collaboration. Defence Export Controls requires a number of staff and positions within a business to collaborate together to administer their daily operations and also their compliance requirements around defence export controls. So collaboration is a key requirement for all businesses working in the area. Another one is the legal side. So defence export controls have a very important need for legal oversight, as a lot of the agreements licenses and so forth that people might sign up to will mean that they have a legal obligation. And that legal obligation can be to Australian authorities or even in the case of the ITAR or EAR, to US authorities. So it's vital that participants understand the legal side of the requirements in this area. Tendering. Now, the tenders seminar that we'll be holding, that will cover how SMEs can best set themselves up for opportunities to enter the market. What we're finding more and more is that tenders are asking SMEs for their ITAR knowledge and awareness as part of a tender response. So to understand how tenders operate and work, you need to understand that the background about defence export controls and how that may impact a response that you may give. Security. Now, security controls help in assisting the protection of the control technology. So the DISP seminar that will be conducted will be cross-pollinating between both the requirements under the various regulations such as ITAR and DEC for the management and control of that control technology when in your possession. And obviously, some of those requirements match up with the Defence Industry Security Program or DISP that will be discussed in that seminar. And finally, cyber. So control technical data is crucial for the execution of contracts and procedures for Australian SMEs. The protection of that data, therefore, is absolutely paramount. Cyber attacks, a lot of the time, are aimed at acquiring or taking that control technology and to be used by nefarious actors across the world. So they want that data that is linked to your control technology. So cyber controls, particularly linked to the US regulations, are starting to become mandated. And these mandated requirements will impact Australian companies that handle ITAR and EAR-related information, and therefore the cyber regulations and the understanding that that seminar will bring will prepare participants for how they manage their ITAR, EAR and other control technology within their possession.
So it goes into some great areas there. I mean, I'm starting to get the feeling that this is pretty important, but can you help explain for our listeners why is this topic so important and who's going to benefit the most from the training that this course offers?
The risks to Australian businesses are many, and for businesses that work in defence or work with technologies in some way, some of these industries might include universities, manufacturers, researchers, logistics companies. They need to be aware of these regulations because they apply to them. They may not understand from a broad picture that something like a defence export control regulation may impact them, but their requirement to handle and manage that control technology brings them into the spectre of having to remain compliant and have an awareness of the defence export controls as they relate to them. The risks around defence export controls are quite significant. There's the risk of large fines, even imprisonment, loss of business and loss of reputation. Australian SMEs have the risk that if they have a breach using controlled technology, particularly US controlled technology, that will mean their company will not be able to possibly not be able to supply to the ADF and you lose the ability to execute your contract requirements. We often say that it should be one of the top three risks to any business who handles or develops controlled technology, and therefore we believe it needs to be taken seriously. You also need to take into account the fact that export controls are there to protect the world from such things as weapons of mass destruction, proliferation, and also terrorism. So that means that they must be considered in a more holistic approach to compliance and best practice within any business, particularly a business that works in the defence sector.
Okay, so for businesses that are wanting to work or already are working in the defence sector, which representatives from those groups do you think should attend this course?
Yeah, Grant, there's a number of different representatives that I believe will benefit from my training package. The first is businesses working in defence with high-grade technologies. So they might be businesses that are working in high-end warfighting capabilities. The second are businesses who might wish to enter the market with those high-grade technologies or to work on technologies within defence that might be linked to projects such as the Air Warfare Destroyer, Joint Strike Fighter, land assets, etc. The final one is staff from these businesses that cover a number of different roles. Roles such as human resources, management, operations, acquisition, contract and technical all have defence export controls impacting their roles within any business. And those are the sort of staff that she'll consider attending the series so they can get a more definite appreciation of how it impacts them within their role.
Well, Kevin, that's quite a broad range of people who will benefit from this course. So can you give us the key points and the information you're going to address under each module?
Yeah, great, Grant. It'll be a broad introduction to the regulations in the form of the virtual workshops being supported with the e-learning at the start. I'll give a general intro about defence export controls from the Australian perspective and ITAR and EAR. And I'll give you a bit of a context around the regimes and agreements that are in place in a worldwide perspective that put all of this export control focus and the regulations into perspective. I'll then cover off on operator perspectives. So I'll talk about licenses, agreements, and operational matters, some of those more specific operational matters, and this is where it impacts human resources, the management of dual and third country nationals under the ITAR regulations. They are quite specific about the nationalities and the places of birth of staff. So HR staff will also benefit from that second workshop I intend delivering. The third module that I'll go into will be operator's perspective and as a final perspective from there, and then the technical perspective. So that's really for the engineers and the technicians and how they need to approach the regulations and how it impacts them in their role. And finally, I'll talk about compliance and best practice, which is specifically a management perspective. But in this final seminar workshop, I'll talk about how a company, not just management, but also the operators, the technicians and so forth, can all contribute to the compliance requirements and build within each SME the ability to have best practice compliance within their business and to ensure that they do not have any risks of that loss of work opportunities and loss of reputation that might come with a breach, particularly with the US regulations.
Yes, very complicated space to operate in. I'm definitely seeing the benefits of this course for sure. So, well, I'm hearing lots of really good information and there's lots of topics to cover, but it's always good to relate these topics to real business examples. Will your course include examples of these controls in operation?
Yeah, they certainly will, Grant. I intend using a number of case studies that will look at a variety of business types and include coverage of different regulations and these business types to give the different range of participants greater value from listening into the seminar. The first one I'll raise it relates to an Australian businessman who has recently come back from the US after serving a custodial sentence over there for ITAR breaches. I'll also talk about telecommunications companies and how they've been impacted by the EAR. It's quite significant at the moment with the proliferation and the push by telecommunication companies to get 5G technology out there. And the US EAR, which covers the dual-use technologies, is becoming a weapon by the US government to impact and prevent these telecommunications companies from accessing some US technology to enable them to get a leg up on US companies. I'll also talk about major defence and business companies who have been fined and implicated in recent years some of those companies are quite large, and I'll talk specifically about their breaches that give really good lessons for Australian SMEs on how to remain compliant. I'll also talk, as a result of that, what businesses need to put in place to be ready to receive, produce, or export that control technology. My ability to bring in a defence focus will also give a broader understanding to the participants, and I'll also be able to talk about the support that not only Australian SMEs can get, but also give them an understanding of the support network that operates within defence around the US regulations in particular, and how that can be shown to radiate down and flow down to Australian SMEs, even though they have no direct knowledge or understanding of how that might actually operate from the external point of view from defence.
So you touched very briefly there on the topic of support. So to wrap this up, could you please tell us what support options are available for people who have attended this course?
The Centre of Defence Industry Capability can provide business advice in the area, and it allows you to seek consultancy and help from businesses like Gold Group through a series of grants and advice that enables you to reach out and get the advice that you need. The Defence Export Controls within Australia, also ITAR and AIR websites, are all available to view and research should you require further information. They are all quite well laid out, and you can gain quite a lot of knowledge just by going through those websites in your own time and looking at the different perspectives and things that they talk about that enable you to build up your SME knowledge for your company. And also prime contractors and defence, they typically request information of industry, but you should have the ability to reach back to those primes and reach back to defence just to clarify questions that they may ask, which is another means by which you can gain support to help you in your journey within this defence export controls area. And finally, feel free to check the Gold Group page and also my personal LinkedIn page. Those weekly news sweeps that I do, I will typically put an article up once a week just to enable businesses and SMEs that may follow me to be as best informed as they can without needing to go down their own path of searching and finding that information, which always takes time. So I like to be able to say that I'm giving back to our industry in that way to help them remain compliant and to help them through their journey.
Well, thanks, Kev. That's been a great overview of the course that you're offering on defence export controls. You've certainly provided a good summary of the training available for this very complicated area, along with the bonus of ongoing additional support to help keep attendees current in this topic.
Thanks a lot, Grant.
You have been listening to another Defence Ready Seminar episode. For more information on the Defence Ready Seminar series, please visit the Gold Group website at www.goldgroup.com.au. This episode has been produced by Southern Skies Media on behalf of Gold Group. The content in this episode cannot be used without permission from Gold Group.
Southern Skies Media.